Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's. All of you who are so rich. You are all so rich. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, wait a second, my bank account isn't full. I don't drive an amazing car, all these things. My house isn't gigantic. But you are so rich, there's no one rich like you on this earth. And that's what we're going to celebrate today, how God has made us so rich with heavenly treasure. One of those things that we get to celebrate, one of those aspects of heavenly treasure, is the Lord's Supper, and that's what we're going to celebrate today. So prepare your minds and hearts to receive that great treasure. Now, if you are not a member of our congregation, just know that this is a meal where we celebrate our unity. So we'd like to celebrate that with you in the future, and if you'd like to know how you can do that, please speak with myself after the service. Love to talk about that. Let's begin our worship service of God and His heavenly treasure that He's given us with hymn 477. 477. God bless your worship. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Now that we've received the Lord's mercy this morning, let us pray for His continued mercy in our lives. For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen. Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Mercifully grant, O God, that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. For without your help, we are unable to please you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Consider the fact that Solomon gives us some good wisdom here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. This wisdom is that when we look at earthly wealth, really you see only frustration and toil, but there's also a good God-pleasing attitude that we are to have, even toward that. From Ecclesiastes 5. If you see the poor oppressed in a district and justice and rights denied, do not be surprised at such things. For one official is eyed by a higher one, and over them both are others higher still. The increase from the land is taken by all. The king himself profits from the fields. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. What benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much, but as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owners, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when they have children, there is nothing left for them to inherit. Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil that they can carry in their hands. This too is a grievous evil. As everyone comes, so they depart. And what do they gain since they toil for the wind? All their days they eat in darkness with great frustration, affliction, and anger. This is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them, for this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. They seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart. The word of the Lord. We now sing together a psalm that reflects our great treasure and how long we'll get to celebrate it. Psalm 146. Second lesson this morning comes from Revelation chapter 2, and even though we might feel that in difficult times we're not very rich, Jesus here assures us that we indeed are. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death." This is the word of the Lord. The verse of the day reflects the fact who gives us this great treasure. Philippians chapter 2. "Alleluia, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Alleluia." Now please stand in honor of the words of Jesus. The gospel lesson for this morning comes from Luke chapter 16. This will also serve as our sermon text. Jesus says, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire.' But Abraham replied, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us.' He answered, 'Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' 'No, Father Abraham,' he said, 'but if someone rises or from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for our hymn of the day, hymn number 421. 421. God's grace and God's peace to you, brothers and sisters, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The sermon text for today, as I said, comes from the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 16. If you'd like to follow along, let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your treasure. Amen. It's a concept that you and I are very familiar with. It's one that we experience every single day, and if we don't look at it properly, then we're in big trouble. The concept is value. We're all familiar with value. We have it every single day. If we don't properly allocate what we have to us, we only have so many resources, then we can be in big trouble. For example, you don't spend $3,000 for a loaf of bread at the grocery store. You don't spend $100 per gallon of gas when you fill up your tank, though it might feel like it sometimes. You don't spend 23 hours picking out a pair of socks for the day. That just doesn't make sense. There's only so much with value when it comes to things and money and time. Well, you and I have something when it comes to value that is greater than anything else, and it's not even close. We have this great treasure that is the greatest of all of them. Now, what I want you to do is turn your bulletins to page number 10. Page 10, you'll see in the sermon theme there's a blank. Blank is our greatest treasure, and don't get fooled by what's on the screens. He's the source. Now, what I want you to do is take 5-10 seconds and write down right now how you would answer that. What is our greatest treasure? I want you to keep this on your minds as we're going through the sermon. We'll see how you did later. Jesus shares with us a parable this morning that helps us see the value of this greatest treasure. The parable is actually a warning. It's meant to elicit reflection on this most vital valuation. What is our greatest treasure? Jesus begins the parable this way. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. I don't think Jesus could have painted a picture of two more opposite situations. There's this rich man that had it all. He lived in luxury, not just on the weekends, but every day he lived it up. He had all of this great food. He enjoyed it. He had this amazing house. He dressed in the finest clothes. He had what we would say the good things in life. On the other hand, there was this beggar who was laid at his gate named Lazarus. He was laid there, apparently, because he couldn't walk. All he wanted was anything that fell from the rich man's table, just a tiny little bit. And on top of it all, he had all of these open ulcers on his skin that the unclean street dogs would come and lick. Not exactly what we would call the good things in life. Now, there's a prevailing view in Jesus' day that God blessed people with riches when they were better, because of who they were. So how surprised people must have been when Jesus continued the parable. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, Wait now. So you're telling me that the wealth we have in this life doesn't determine where we go in the next life? This rich man had it all this wealth, and he ended up in hell? And this poor beggar who had nothing ended up in heaven? Well, yeah, so that's our first sub-point that you can fill in. Jesus makes it very clear about our greatest treasure. It is not earthly treasure. It is not earthly treasure. Any earthly treasure that we might have has no bearing on where we end up in the next life. Now you're thinking to yourself, well, duh, Pastor. We knew that. We know that we go to heaven because of Jesus. It's 100% Him, nothing from us. And that's spiritually speaking, not to mention anything materially that we might have to offer. And you're right. It's just that our lives and our choices don't always reflect that easy common sense. If someone sat down and analyzed your life for a while, what would they say is your greatest treasure? What do you spend the most time on? What do you think about the most? What do you work the hardest for? We know what the rich man's greatest treasure was. He made it obvious, plain to see. Lived in luxury every day while ignoring the poor, ulcered beggar at his gate. You and I know that earthly treasure is not our greatest treasure, and yet we can still treat it that way sometimes. And if somebody looks at our life, maybe they'd see all of the good kingdom work that we're missing out on, not just for ourselves, but for others too. Thing is, if we keep treating earthly treasure that way, we're going to find something out the hard way someday that we already know right now. It's something that the Lazarus obviously knew, and the rich man obviously didn't. That is, until he found out the hard way. In Hades, where he was in torment, the rich man looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony." "Yeah, thanks, Abe." "You are in agony," he says. "Yeah, I kind of figured that out." Rich man sure figured that out when he was sitting there in anguish in hell. There was some difference between Lazarus and this rich man, and the rich man realized it now. There was some treasure that Lazarus had that he didn't, and it made all the difference. And now he realized how valuable that treasure Lazarus had really was. So that's the next sub-point. You can fill it in. About our greatest treasure, its value will be realized. There's a grammar fail there if you want to get rid of that apostrophe and its. It'll make more sense. Its value will be realized. The value of this treasure will indeed be realized, whether it's in this life now or when this life ends. Oh, it will be realized. And that realization comes when people realize that heaven and hell are very real. They're real places. Hell is real. Don't let the world tell you otherwise. Bible attests to it all over the place, gives it many different descriptions like this one here: fire, burning, heat. It's a place of gnashing of teeth, punishment, pain, destruction. It's called outer darkness, blackest darkness. It is a place of agony. Jesus himself attests to that here. It is real, and it is agony. And Jesus would know, because Jesus suffered it for us on the cross. He saved us from it. Now, thanks to him and through him, you and I won't go there. You and I instead will go to Abraham's side with all of the other believers. We'll get to live in heaven someday. Thanks to the Holy Spirit bringing us that realization now in this life, you and I know the value of that treasure. And we get to be in heaven with Christ. And it won't be a short stay, no matter where you go. That's what makes this valuation of our greatest treasure very vital, extremely vital. Abraham continues with the rich man, "And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. There's no mass transit system between destinations in the afterlife. That's it. Where you go when you die, that's it. No second chances. So that's the next subpoint you can fill in. Its finality makes it vital. Get rid of that apostrophe too. Its finality makes it vital. This is it. This is our time of grace, this life. And wherever you go, that's where you are forever. Now, there was something that I've seen one time, and it kind of hit home, and it was memorable, so I thought I'd share it with you. Can I get a volunteer? Come on up here, Everett. Take the end of that. Go as far back. Careful of the pews there. Go as far back as you can. Hopefully this doesn't tangle. And it did. As far back as you can. Whoop, I lost. Whew. Keep going. Almost there. All right, stop. A little further. All right, right there. Pretend for a second that this length of twine is your existence. This is all of you for all time, all eternity. This is you. How much time or how long of this string is your earthly life? What would you say? Pretty short. If this is all eternity and it keeps on going and going and going, then actually even me holding the very end of this is too much for your earthly life right here. At the end of this life, you cannot change where you go. On and on and on. So that makes this treasure and receiving this treasure in this life that vital. Its finality makes it that vital. You can let go now, Everett. Thank you. Now take a look. I'm even winding this up pretty fast. This is your eternity. And this is what God has gifted to you. This is how much time you get to spend with your Lord and Savior forever in heaven. And what did you do to deserve all of this? Look at this. You did nothing. God gave it to you. See, God saw you as a beggar in need. And he decided to gift you with eternal life. You feel like sometimes there are those moments where you just got your whole life in your hands? Well, in a way you do. You have this treasure right now. And if it is that vital and that valuable, oh boy, we need some help holding on to it, don't we? Well, that is exactly what God provides. That's what he makes clear very next. The rich man answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone comes from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Now, it isn't miraculous signs that give us this treasure. It isn't miraculous signs that bring about repentance. Jesus' own resurrection was proof of that. Millennia, it's been denied. No, something else creates faith that receives that greatest treasure. There's something else that strengthens that faith and its hold on that greatest treasure. It's what Abraham calls Moses and the prophets. Now, that's not the name of a 50s band. That's the name of the Old Testament scriptures. That's what they called it in Jesus' day. One of the names, Moses and the prophets. Moses wrote the first five books. The prophets was the largest set of writings for the rest of the Old Testament. Basically, Jesus says they have God's word. Let them listen to them. God's word points to exactly what that treasure is. God's word talks about Jesus, our Savior, being sent and given to us. God's word talks about how he went through agony for us on the cross, how he died and was buried. It also talks about how he did indeed rise to life again, and now that guarantees you and me that life that we have. That's what God's word tells us. That is the treasure that you and I have. And that treasure, then, if it's only found in God's word, then that does that fourth subpoint. You can go ahead and fill it in. It sets the value of God's word. This treasure, it sets the value of God's word. Letting it collect dust on my bookshelf at home or going opened on my smartphone is not giving its proper value. Attending worship once a month when I could do more, or coming here for 1 hour instead of two when I could make it, it's not giving this its proper value. And that's just one day out of the week. The same goes for our kids, too. How much math and English and social studies homework and science homework do we make our kids do every single week? What about the Bible? Sunday school, Bible study, home devotions, teaching them. Now that treasure is too important. And if it is only found in Scripture, and that's the only means the Holy Spirit uses, then that's what we're going to give our kids and ourselves. This treasure is too valuable. So what is it? What is our greatest treasure? What'd you write? Jesus. Okay, you took the answer from the screen. What else? Faith. Grace. God's word included in there. Salvation. Heaven. All correct answers. I didn't have anything in mind in particular for that blank. You notice that all of that is connected. Who is it that secures this great treasure for us? It's Jesus. It's what he did for us. He secured that God's grace. He won our salvation. Thanks to him, we have forgiveness. Through that, we receive that through faith. All of it. It's all found in God's word. So, if that is our greatest treasure, does our life reflect that? Think of it this way. Are you protecting that greatest treasure with a 4-foot-thick reinforced steel-walled safe? Or is it more like a cardboard box in your basement? Are you doing the same for your kids, teaching them to do the same? Either way. Eternity is at stake. This is a vital valuation. And this is our greatest treasure we're talking about, eternal life in Christ Jesus and everything that comes with it. So Jesus gives us a parable to help us reflect on that. May he bless your reflection as he guides you in this most vital valuation in your life. What is our greatest treasure? Amen. Please stand. May the peace that Christ has secured for us with God guard your hearts and minds through faith in him. Amen. We now confess our faith in that greatest treasure and how God brought it about, according to an ancient creed called the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. This morning, as part of the prayer of the church, we think especially of those suffering health challenges, Vicki Underwood and the mother of John Healy, among others. We also pray for those celebrating anniversaries and birthdays. We pray. Gracious Lord of all, we praise and thank you for making us truly rich. You've given us life, your Son, forgiveness, peace with you, your powerful word, faith, hope, and a future filled with joys and your presence forever. Thank you for making us rich with heavenly treasure. Guide us with your word to value this treasure properly in our lives. We also ask you to give a rich measure of faith and hope to all those suffering from health challenges. Strengthen them in body and comfort them with your love shown in Jesus. Bless their recoveries and build their trust in your care. Also strengthen the love of all married couples, especially those celebrating anniversaries. Nourished by word and sacrament, give them a rich love for each other and a continued dedication to be loving companions for each other. Continue to bless those who are celebrating birthdays as well. Give them the chance to see your grace on this special day and to show that same grace to everyone celebrating with them. Almighty Lord, we also ask you to bring comfort and healing to the families and communities in Roseville who were stunned by the homicides there this past week. Let your people be the light in the midst of the darkness, and give them courage to speak of your name. We ask all of this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, who also taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He sends the Holy Spirit to testify that we are his children and to strengthen us when we are weak. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. He was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, Take the World But Give Me Jesus, number 355. Good morning. God be praised for making us rich with heavenly treasure. Big welcome to all of our visitors this morning. If you get a chance, please check out our welcome center right over there. There's a free gift for you. And really, anything on that table is yours. A lot of information about our ministry here at St. Mark's if you'd like to learn more. Please stick around for Sunday school and Bible class, places where we can get some more of this treasure. We here in the sanctuary, there it is, first century stewardship here in the sanctuary, and then also the teen class. And Sunday school begins down in room 803. The LWMS rally was here yesterday. There's some leftover folders there about with information from the rally. Those are in the lobby back there. Go ahead and grab one if you'd like more information. LWMS is also selling calendars for $10. If you're interested in that, please see Ellie Ennis or Clara Jackson. After a second service today, there's going to be a call meeting to call our new principal, so please stick around or come back for that after second service. This Friday is our Trunk or Treat event, where we get a chance to kind of rub elbows with a whole bunch of visitors. We're approaching 600 people interested on Facebook yet again this year, so if you're interested in decorating a trunk and handing out candy and getting to know some people, maybe talking them up, please let us know. Sign up for that, and we'll get some more information for you. There's also an opportunity for donations, candy donations, just in case different trunks run out. We want to make sure we have enough. So if you're able to do that, great too. November 3rd is our Area Reformation Service at 4 p.m. right here at St. Mark's. We'll have about five different congregations that we're in fellowship with come here and celebrate with us. There's also going to be a dinner afterwards as well, so keep that in mind. If you're able to bring something for that meal, there's a sign up in the back of the lobby for that as well. So Area Reformation Service, November 3rd. November 9th, later on, almost a week later, is our school's 50th anniversary gala. If you're interested in buying tickets, they're right back there for you. You can also do that online. So school's 50th anniversary gala, November 9th. For all the other announcements, you can find those in the weekly news. May God continue to bless you this week with all of that treasure. Please stick around and greet one another.